What if the path to God wasn't found in quiet meditation or mystical retreat, but in the messy, complex work of building a just society? This is Islam's radical proposition, one that has shaped 1,400 years of history and continues to influence a quarter of humanity today. While other traditions often separate the spiritual from the political, Islam insists they're inseparable. Creating equity, sharing wealth, protecting the vulnerable, these aren't merely good deeds, but acts of worship, the very substance of faith. This unique vision explains why Islamic history feels so intensely political, why debates about governance carry theological weight, and why understanding Islam requires grappling with how Muslims have continuously sought divine presence, not in withdrawal from the world, but in transforming it. Picture 7th century Arabia, tribal warfare, female infanticide, extreme wealth inequality. Into this world came Muhammad ibn Abdallah with a message that was simultaneously spiritual and revolutionary. His first revelations in 610 CE didn't just call for monotheism, they demanded the Quraysh elite redistribute wealth and care for orphans and widows. This wasn't abstract theology, but concrete social reform. Muhammad positioned Islam as continuous with Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, calling Jews and Christians people of an earlier revelation. The Quran declared, "There shall be no coercion in matters of faith." His 622 migration to Medina built the first Ummah, a community united by shared values rather than bloodline. His mosque embodied Tawhid, prayer space, community center, and political headquarters merged seamlessly. His reforms for women, inheritance rights, property ownership, divorce options preceded European protections by centuries. In a culture practicing female infanticide, Muhammad's assertion of women's inherent dignity was revolutionary. When Medina's Jewish tribes rejected his prophethood, he developed a distinct Arab monotheistic identity through Abraham's connection to Ishmael. The rapid transformation of Arabian society reveals both his vision's power and the challenges of translating spiritual ideals into political reality. Uthman's 656 assassination shattered early unity. Ali ibn Abi Talib's succession sparked immediate conflict. Muhammad's widow, Aisha, led armies against him, while Syria's governor, Muawiyah, rejected his authority. At Siffin in 657, Ali's agreement to arbitration prompted extremist Kharijites to secede, insisting only piety, not lineage or political skill, should determine leadership. A Kharijite assassinated Ali in 661. His son Hassan's brief rule ended in compromise, enabling Muawiyah to establish the Umayyad dynasty. This first fitna forced Muslims to confront urgent questions. Should rulers be chosen for piety or competence? Does prophetic bloodline matter? How should believers respond to unjust leadership? The answers, eventually crystallizing into the Sunni-Shia divide, would shape Islamic civilization for centuries, revealing how translating spiritual vision into political reality remains Islam's perpetual challenge. Islamic theology, law, and spirituality emerged from wrestling with political crises, not abstract contemplation. As civil wars raged, diverse movements arose with profound implications. Hassan al-Basri embodied a new piety, living simply while court luxury flourished, his asceticism implicitly criticizing rulers. He championed Qadariya theology, emphasizing human free will, making rulers accountable. The Mu'tazilites used rational analysis to emphasize God's justice and condemn exploitation. The Mirjites postponed judgment on Ali versus Muawiyah, focusing on interior disposition over outward actions, maintaining unity while avoiding divisive politics. Abu Hanifa pioneered systematic jurisprudence, fiqh, translating Quranic principles into practical guidelines. Early scholars collected hadith, reports of the Prophet's words and deeds, to understand how Muhammad organized society. Unlike traditions separating spiritual from worldly concerns, Islamic intellectual traditions developed from embodying divine principles in human society. This integration explains why debates about Islamic law or theology carry political weight. They're different aspects of the same quest. The Abbasid overthrow of the Umayyads in 750 brought stunning transformation. After massacring the Umayyad family, the Abbasids established absolute monarchy. Under Harun al-Rashid, the caliphate became a Persian-style autocracy, the caliph as shadow of God on earth, ruling through viziers. This concentration of power was profoundly un-Islamic, yet paradoxically, it brought unprecedented cultural flourishing. Al-Shafi systematized Islamic jurisprudence, while scholars like al-Bukhari created authoritative hadith collections, establishing comprehensive Sharia guidance. After Harun's death, civil war revealed the empire's fragility. By the 10th century, the caliph retained only symbolic religious authority. This decentralization proved more congenial to Muslim life. Multiple regional capitals became cultural centers: Cairo's Al-Azhar University, Samarkand's Persian Renaissance, Cordova's Florescence. When Genghis Khan's hordes swept through from 1219 onward, they brought unprecedented devastation. Yet remarkably, Islam absorbed and transformed its conquerors, demonstrating Islam's resilience, its ability to absorb even devastating conquest and reemerge transformed, but recognizably itself. Once leaders of world civilization, Muslims became colonial subjects by the 19th century. European powers colonized much of North Africa and the Middle East, with Western control often continuing after independence. The contradiction was devastating. Western powers proclaimed democracy and human rights while denying these to colonial subjects. In Egypt, the popular Waft Party won 17 elections between 1923 and 1952, but ruled only 5 times. Western powers supported dictatorships while claiming moral superiority. Some Muslims initially embraced Western ideas. Iranian intellectuals urged Western education. Egyptian writer Rifa al-Tahdawi championed Enlightenment thought. Sayyid Ahmad Khan adapted Islam to Western liberalism. Rulers like Ottoman Sultan Mohammed II attempted modernization, though often with brutal methods and superficial understanding. Defining a modern Islamic state produced varied results. Saudi Arabia's Wahhabi model claimed the Quran as constitution but enforced archaic punishments. Pakistan oscillated between Jinnah's secular vision and later leaders' aggressive secularism or Islamic symbolism. The deepest pain. Muslims had cultivated virtues crucial to modernity: social justice, egalitarian governance, free speech, yet found themselves subjugated by powers claiming these values while denying them to colonial subjects. Fundamentalism isn't uniquely Islamic. It's a global phenomenon across all faiths responding to modernity. All fundamentalist movements share disenchantment with modernity, fear of religion's elimination, and paradoxically invoke a golden age while creating innovative reinterpretations. Maududi saw Western secularism as an existential threat, elevating jihad to Islam's central tenet. Sayyid Qutb, radicalized by imprisonment and torture, labeled even nominally Muslim societies as barbaric if their rulers were secularists. His selective reading distorted the Prophet's example, emphasizing separation and jihad while ignoring Muhammad's nonviolent Meccan victory and the Quran's opposition to religious coercion. The 1992 Algerian crisis illustrates how suppression breeds extremism. When the Islamic Salvation Front won elections, the military staged a Western-approved coup. Pushed outside legal processes, radicals formed the Armed Islamic Group and began a terror campaign, a pattern repeated where Western powers support dictatorships while claiming to promote democracy. Yet many Muslim thinkers chart a different course. Iran's President Khatami and Abdelkarim Sarush advocate reconciling Islamic, pre-Islamic, and Western identities. Sunni thinkers like Rashid al-Ghannouchi and Yusuf Abdallah al-Qaradawi seek moderation, rejecting both extremism and Western-imposed secularism. They argue Muslims want modernity with spiritual traditions intact, seeing Islam's middle way as rejecting all extremes. Islam's 1,400-year journey reveals remarkable adaptability, maintaining core commitments to justice and compassion while adapting to circumstances. Muslims aren't asking the West to fear their faith, but to support its healthy development, recognizing that religion, at its best, cultivates social justice, equality, tolerance, and compassion.